The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlacha, and Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen.
Daf Lamed Zayin, today's Daf is being studied in Nishmat. Mor Zekeni Yosef Ben Sarah, V'marat Zekenati, Yafa Bat Sarah, V'Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's Daf is being studied, L'Fu'a Shirema, Sarah Bat Rachel, V'Sarah Ruhama. בת רחל ומשה בן דינה אין הרפן עליהם, אין הרפן עליהם, אין הרפן עליהם, פת הנפש ופת הגוף ופתם כנובה לבביך עניין עשו ונאמר אמן בגין תראי סדף ודף למד זיין עמוד ראשון starting 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. We are continuing to discuss the תקנה והליל of פירוזבול. Again, basically the פירוזבול was a תקנה והליל שמיטה does cancel out all debt. And therefore, after the Shemitah year, it's forbidden from the Torah for the Malveh, for the lender, to go to the borrower and ask for his money back. However, Hillel saw that people stopped loaning money out because they didn't want their debts to be canceled. So therefore, he established a prosbul, which basically transfers the debt to the Betin. There's no Isur on Betin to collect debts. Therefore, everybody's happy. The Malveh gets his money, the Loveh will get his loans. And therefore, that is the takana. Now the Gemara begins with some laws regarding the prosbol. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yetumim, En Tzirichim Prosbol. Yetumim are orphans, which means the father was owed money and the father died. Right? So now the debt is owed to the Yetumim. A prosbol does not have to be written up. Yetumim do not have to go and write a prosbol up. V'chein tani rami bar hama, Yetumim En Tzirichim Prosbol. Why? Derabban Gamliel Ubed Dino Avihem Shel Yetumim. Because the Betin, for example, of Rabban Gamliel, they're considered the father of the Yetumim, which means they take care of the Yetumim. Betin automatically will write up a prosbol in order to protect the Yetumim. We're talking about Yetumim Ketanim, they're minors. What do you expect them to go to a Betin now and make a prosbol? They're not capable. So therefore, it's automatic. So therefore, when the Loveh is going to come along and say, "Ah, listen, Shemitah canceled." Right? They're going to come along and say, "Oh, show us your prosbul." They don't have to show anything. They don't have to make a prosbul. Betin made it for them, as I said again, to protect the advocate of the Yetumim. So comes the Gemara and gives a different law now. Tenanatam, we learned in the Mishnah, "Ein kotvim prosbul ela al hakarka." Okay, let's discuss a very important law over here. Halakha says that when a person makes a loan, so sometimes the loan is connected to karka, which means if the fellow doesn't pay back, so then the malveh can go after real estate. There's a lien on the properties. That is a conventional loan. Most loans are with liens on karka. Halakha says over here that which we made a prosbol is only to protect conventional loans where there is connected to a piece of karka. However, if the loan was just money and was not connected to a piece of karka, the rabbis did not establish a prosbol for such a loan. Why? Hakamim only make takanot for milta deshchicha, for things that are prevalent. But things that are not prevalent, the rabbis did not make a takana. It wasn't prevalent to take a loan without having a guarantee on a piece of land. Oh, so now we have to discuss a case. Let's say the malveh, he lent $10,000, but there was no lien. Now Shemitah is going to come. That's it. He loses it. So what they did was, the Hachamim, in order to protect again the Malveh, and it's disadvantage, they would be mezakeh, a little piece of real estate, from the Malveh to the Loveh. Which means the Malveh, let's say, has a lot of fields, let's say, right? So the Malveh can gift. It's disadvantage. I'll gift a small little parcel of land, even though the parcel of land is less than, considerably less than the amount of the loan, doesn't matter. Once already the guy has even a small parcel of land, so already then the law of prosbol would kick in. So it says, im en lo, if the lover did not have any land, mizakehu betok sadehu kolshehu. Which means even a kolshu, even the smallest amount of land. V'chama kolshu. What does it mean a kolshu? Amar of hayah, but asher amar of afilu kelach shel keruv. Even a little cabbage, a small little, you know, a cabbage patch to give it to him. That's already considered enough to be having land, and therefore a prosbol is going to be written up. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, Amar of Yudah afilu hishilo makom de tanur velekirayim kotvim ala prosbol. Even if he, let's say, lent him a piece of land, where the guy could put his oven or his stove, so that's also a small amount of land over there, that still is considered enough in order to put the, which means even though the land is being used for metaltelin, he's giving him the land not to use for the land itself, but to put his movables on the land, still that's considered he gave him karka, therefore prosbol is able to be written up. Ini, we have a contradiction. Ve'atani hilel en kotvin prosbol. We don't write a prosbol. Ela al atzitz nakuv bilvad. You only write it on a atzitz nakuv bilvad, which is a flower pot that has a hole on the bottom of it. Now, a flower pot that has a hole on the bottom of it is considered mehubar the karka, which means it's not considered metaltin, it's not considered removable. Because since there's a hole on the bottom of it, so the hole is attached to the ground. Now, even though you can move it, but so long as it's on the ground, it's considered attached to the ground. So how could you tell me that what? That you're giving him an item even for movables? Seemingly the karka has to be, the item that you give him has to be mamash, attached to the ground, like atzitz, that is nakuv. Nakuv in. Shenu nakuv lo. So Kemara says, Amai, I don't understand you. Even if you give him a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in it, still it should be okay. Why? Deha ika mikomo. Still, the guy's placing the flower pot somewhere. Where is he putting this flower pot? Either he's putting it on a field that he has. If he has a field, then they're ready to write a prosbol. Or the guy's giving him a field with it. Oh, so what do you see from over here? That even if you give a guy a field, but to put a movable, that's not considered giving him a field. So back to the case of the oven. You gave him a field, but to put an oven on it, that's not considered giving him a field. Just like if you gave him a flower pot without a hole in it. We want to know which the case. If the case is talking about, what, that he gave him a field, and still you're telling me that it's no good. Why? Because it seems it has to be a field for the purpose of the, for the field itself. The case is talking about, he gave him the flower pot, and the guy doesn't have a piece of real estate. Where's he putting it? He's suspending it on poles. Oh, when he's suspending it on poles, if it's atzit she'enu nakuv, where there's no hole on the bottom of it, so therefore it's total metaltelin. It's not connected to the ground. It has no connection to the ground. It's hanging, it's suspended in there. But if he gave him atzit nakuv, even if it's suspended on poles, it still receives a nutrient from the ground, from the air. The air draws the nutrients up or down, and therefore that would be considered enough karka, enough to be considered a real estate where you can write a prosbol. Comes the Gemara and says, Rav Asher makne le gidma de dekla v'chatav ale prosbol. Rav Asher, when cases would come to him between a malve and a love, he would be makne a small, like the stump of a palm tree. Small little item from the Malvet to the Lovet. Oh, now he has something. Write up a prosbol. Rabbanan de Berav Asher Masre Milayu Lahadadeh. Okay, new point. Till now, we always thought you got to write up a prosbol. You go to Betin, they write it up. I'm giving you my shtarot to the Betin so they can collect it whenever they want, right? Now we're saying you don't have to do that. You can do it verbal. You can go to the Betin and just tell them, listen, I have some outstanding debt over here. I want you to handle it. You don't even have to write it up. So long as you verbally gave over your words to the Betin, it's already considered a prosbol. Rabbi Yonatan Masar Mile Rabbi Hiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Yonatan gave his words over again to Rabbi Hiya Bar Abba. Okay? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le sarichna midi aharina? Do I have to do anything else? I mean, all I did is verbally tell you I want you to take care of my debt. Is that okay? Amar le la sarichat. That's all you need. So long as you gave over the verbal declaration, that is enough. Tanu rabbanan, in lo karka. Now we discuss back to the story of the karka. Let's say the Luve himself does not have karka. Villa Arev yesh lo karka. But there was a guarantor. And the guarantor has karka. Now the guarantor is obviously related to this loan over here. Because if the Malve can't go to the Luve, the Malve is able to go to the guarantor. So as long as the Arev has karka, you write about kotvim ala pirozbol. Okay? That's the first case. Lo ul'arev in lahem karka. Let's say the love and the guarantor don't have karka. Ul'hayav lo yesh lo karka. But somebody else owes money to the love. So now you have a triangle. The love owes the malve, but there's somebody else that owes to the love. And that guy that owes to the love has karka. So the law is kotvim ala pirozbol. Now how does that work? Midrabi Natan. Working with the famous Shi'buda of Rabbi Natan. Detanya Rabbi Natan Omer. Minayin l'noshe b'havero maneh. What? How do you know that if a person is going after his friend because he owes him a maneh? V'havero b'havero. And that guy that owes money is also owed money. Minayin shemotzi'in mizeh v'notim lezeh. How do we know that A is able to go to C? Right? Because, right, C owes B and B owes A. So he said, let A go to C and collect the money. There's a shabud like that. Tamud lomar, because the pasuk says, V'natan la'asher asham lo. The pasuk says, when it talks about paying the money, it says over here, it doesn't say that you have to pay to the one that is your creditor. The pasuk would have said you have to pay la'asher noshelo. No, you don't have to pay that the one, this guy, A is coming after B. But it doesn't say that B has to pay. It says the noshe has to pay. Who's noshe? The one that the one that owes the money. C also owes money. So therefore, he can go to even C and take the money. And therefore, we learn from over here that this karka that belongs to C, that is mishubad, and therefore Betin will say, Mr. Leve, do you have any karka? No. Does the guarantor have? No. Does anybody owe you money? Yes. Does he have karka? Yes. Bingo. That karka is now mishubad to the Mr. A. And therefore, since there's karka involved in this transaction, albeit by the third man, C, still, their prosbul is written up. Tananatam, we learned in Mishnah. Hashivi'it mishamet et tamalve. Okay, now, Shemitah is mishamet. Shemit means cancels loans. Now, the language of the Mishnah is as follows. Ben bishtar, bin shelo bishtar. Now, whether the loan had a shtar, a document, or whether there was no document. Now, we don't know what that means. That's a vague statement, whether it was a document, a shtar, or not a shtar. So the Gemara is going to explain what does it mean, ben bishtar, ben shelo bishtar. So it says, Rav Ushmuel dan mitar bayu. Rav Ushmuel explained what the Mishnah actually means. Bishtar, what does a shtar mean? Shtar sheyesh bo acharayut nechasim. When you write a shtar for a loan, the shtar usually causes a lien that if I don't pay you money, you can take it from the actual karka. So even if it's a shtar that has achrayut nechasim, still the law is the shemitah is mishamit. Now the hadush in that statement is like this, because you can argue like this. If already the malvik can get paid from karka, so he's guaranteed. So if I don't pay him the $1,000 that I owe him, he can always take it from the karka. So you could look at it as if he's paid already. And therefore, it's not considered a loan that you're going to argue and say, Shemitah canceled. I'm covered already, which is, I got my insurance, I got the karka. Kamash balan de Mishnah. That even though there's a lien on the land, it's not considered he's paid up. And therefore, it's considered an outstanding loan. Therefore, when Shemitah comes, if you didn't do a prosbol, the Shemitah will cancel that. Now, that's if it's written with a shtar. Now, shelo bishtar, now what does it mean writing a loan without a shtar, or having a loan without a shtar? She'en bo'arayun nechasim. Okay, that's a case where it's not linked to real estate. So certainly the guy owes the money. Guy owes the money, Shemitah comes, canceled. Ve'kol sheken malve al peh. All the more so when it's a malve al peh, where it's just a verbal, which is you could have a shtar that's linked to real estate, you could have a shtar that's not linked to real estate. And certainly if it's malveh al peh, no time when a person makes a verbal loan is it ever linked to real estate. So basically, the chiddush of Rav and Shmuel is, ben bishtar, ben shelo bishtar, kol sheken ba'malveh al peh. the law is Shemitah is going to cancel all those debts. Now, Rabbi Yohanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Akish look at it differently. They say, no, the Amitar Vayu, Bishtar, you know what a star means? She'en bo Ahrayut. A star, Nechasim. The star is in a case where it's not linked to real estate. Shelo Bishtar, and the case of Shelo Bishtar means Melveh Alpeh. That's talking about verbal. About Shtar, Shiesh Baru Nechasim, Eno Meshamet. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, he holds, and the Buchanan as well, that if there's real estate attached to the loan, it's considered paid. And therefore, when Shemitah comes, even without a prosbul, it's not going to cancel out. Because we don't look at it as a loan anymore. Because bottom line, even if I don't get the $1,000, the malveh, I got the real estate. That's already mine. Even if he sells it, the loveh, doesn't matter. There's a lien on it. So therefore, Rabbi Yohanan ben Lakish learned that Shemitah does not apply to a case where the loan is linked to property. Tanya kivatet Rabbi Yohanan ben Lakish. And we actually have a braita to support that opinion. Shtar chov mishamit. Right? Shtar chov. Even if you have a shtar, doesn't matter. It cancels out during the Shemitah. V'im yesh b'ahariyut nechasim. But if it's attached to land, Eno Meshamet. So you see a Beferush Braita in support of Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yohanan Tanya Idak. We have another Braita. Siyim lo sadeh achat b'halvato. Let's say the Loveh, he designated a certain field to the Malveh. So listen, if I don't pay you, he pointed, like he earmarked a certain area in his field, I will give you that field. Eno Meshamet. Again, same law. Eno Meshamet. Because bottom line, that's even better. He even designated which field he could take. Velo od ela, not only that, but it's afilu katav kol nechasai achrayin v'arba'in lach eno meshamit. Even if he goes a step further, not step further, even if it's less, he comes along and says, listen, all my real estate that I have is lien to you. Now this is a little worse because he didn't designate, but doesn't matter. Since he put a lien on, the guy could come technically anywhere and take it, even though he didn't delineate which spot exactly, doesn't matter. Since the deal was he could take it, it's as if he has it already, therefore it's not considered an outstanding loan. Therefore, when Shemitah comes, it doesn't cancel it, because already it's by him. So certainly in the case where he delineated, you could take this piece of real estate in the corner over there, this size, by that size. That's already, he's giving him the exact spot. Even if he didn't give him the exact spot, so long as he made it clear to him that he could take from anywhere, that's also considered paid up. Now, that was the opinion of Rabbi Yohanan ben Lakish, and they got support from actually two braitot. Now the Gemara tells a story. The relatives of Rav Aseh, they were malveh, they lent money, and they had the shtar with ahrayut nechasim, which means it was linked to real estate, and the Shemitah came. So now they came to the rabbi, asked the rabbi, listen, is this loan over here canceled or not canceled? Obviously, Shemitah came and went. So they want to know, can we collect? He told them, no problem. And what was Rav Aseh's logic? Because bottom line was linked to real estate. The real estate is considered by you because you had a lien on it, and therefore, no problem. Shevkeh, so the relatives left Rav Aseh after they asked him. They came in front of Rabbi Yohanan. Amar le mishamit, and he told them mishamit. Rabbi Yohanan, it cancels. Now wait, that's contrary to Rabbi Yohanan's shita. Atar of Aseh le kamed Rabbi Yohanan. Now Rabbi Aseh says what? Rabbi Yohanan said it cancels, so he went to Rabbi Yohanan himself. Amar le mishamit to ena mishamit. He says, Rabbi, I want to get the story straight here. Mishamit to ena mishamit. Amar le mishamit. He told me it cancels. He said, what do you mean, v'amor hu da'amar eno mishamit? You're the one that said eno mishamit. Rabbi, there's real estate over here. You're the one that said it's considered paid up, and therefore the loan is not canceled out. What are you're saying a psak contrary to your opinion. Amar le, so Rabbi Yohanan told him, v'chi mipne she'anu medamin na'aseh ma'aseh, which means, listen, he says, I didn't hear this halakha from my rabbis. This is something that I thought, but since I didn't hear from my rabbis, I'm not going to do a maaseh, which is, I'm not going to take money now out of a loveh to say that the loan is not canceled out just because something that I think, he says, I don't have a tradition from my rabbis. I was giving an opinion. This is what I think. But I'm not going to do a halakha l'maaseh in this loveh to start taking money out without having a tradition from my rabbis. So Rav Asir says, but I don't understand. Amale v'hatanya kivate demor. Forget about your opinion. The Gemara brought two braitot to support you. So definitely there's Tanayic sources for what you said. Amar le dilma'ai bet shamayhi. Da'am nishtara omed ligbot kegabui damer. He says, you know what? This is the opinion of Bet Shammai in the world. We learned it in Masechet Sotah. Let's review Bet Shammai's opinion. Bet Shammai was like this. A person has a shtar. And the shtar is omed ligavot. It's standing to be, you know, paid. Bet Shammai looks at it, kegabui dame. It's like it's paid. What does that mean, it's like it's paid? Virtually paid? What does that mean? So the Gemara Sotah learned the case like this. A husband suspected his wife as a Sotah. What's the law? Got to take her to the Beit HaMikdash. She's got to drink. Okay? Before she drank, the husband died. How the controversy came up, does she get ketubah or not? Beit Hillel said, she doesn't get the ketubah, because if she's guilty, so then she loses ketubah. Now, she can't drink after the husband died. So now it turns into a case of hamotzi mechaveru ala vera. You want to take money out of the husband for ketubah, prove your innocence. And you can't prove your innocence, because she can't drink, so she forfeits the ketubah according to Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai looks at it differently. Beit Shammai says, no, shtara omed legavot kegavui damet. And therefore we look at it as if she's already holding the shtar, the money is by her. So on the contrary, the husband's children, they want to take the money now away from the mother, from the wife. You got to bring a proof that she's guilty. And you can't bring a proof because she can't drink. So therefore she keeps the ketubah money. So it all depends, where do you hold the money? So Rabbi Yochanan said, very nice, you brought me ra'ayot from those braitot that say when there's real estate in the deal of the loan, so it's not considered canceled out. Because why? Because we consider the real estate by the malveh already, and therefore if it's paid up, he says, I don't know if those braitot are acceptable in the halakha, because that could be following Beit Shammai's opinion. This is a shtar omed legavot kegavui damer. So therefore, I didn't hear it from my rabbis. The braitot could be following Beit Shammai. So therefore, when they came to me with this question, I was mahmira. But he said, but you were the one that was mekel. I was mekel in theory. But v'chi mipnei she'anu medamim na'aseh ma'aseh. Because this is what we thought. We're not going to do halakha le'ma'aseh on this over there. So that's why, how Rabbi Yohanan explained himself. Comes the Gemara and says, we learned to the Mishnah. Hammalve et havero ma'ot al hammashkon. Okay, not real estate, but collateral, movables. Guy lends money, the malve gives the love $1,000, and he gives him, something as a collateral as well. A watch, whatever it may be, a gold piece of gold or something like that. V'mosir shtarotav lebetin, or a regular case of prosbol, where the guy goes and gives his shtarot before the shemitah to the betin, so the betin will collect it, and meshametin. The law is, Shemitah does not cancel out the Yizanus. We understand the case of giving his shtarot over to the Beit Din. Very good, because the Beit Din is going to collect. The Torah's Isur of collecting is personal. One guy cannot go to the other guy. Melve cannot go to the Oveh, but now it's institutionalized. Now it's going to the Beit Din. So we understand how the Moser Shtarotav works. But lending on a collateral, what's the reason why Shemitah does not cancel out such a situation? Amarava mishum de tafasle. He says, because bottom line, he's holding it already, which means the malveh is holding the collateral. So by holding the collateral, in that case, it's by him already, which means even more. If let's say something happens to that collateral, if it gets lost, the malveh is hayaf, which means it's considered that he's responsible for this item, so it's like, since he's responsible, it's like it's his. And therefore, it's like he got paid. So therefore, that's why we're going to say the Shemitah is not going to be erased over here. That she says in this case over here, that she says, the tafiste ve'enu nogso ve'tov'o klum, which means the isur of the malveh during Shemitah is to be noges, to go to the malveh and say, pay me. In this case, I don't have to say pay me. He has it already. He's holding the collateral in his hand. Abba the Abaye. So Abaye says, oh yeah, according to that logic, Hilvahu, guy lent money, Malveh lent money, Vedar Bahatsero. But he's living in the Loveh's house. And the Loveh has an apartment. Right? So he happens to be living in the Loveh's apartment. So now the question is, de tafisle, hachen amet de lo meshamet? Are you going to tell me in that case also, I'm tofes, I'm living in the guy's apartment, I have something of his by me. Are you going to tell me also that Shemitah is not going to erase that, be canceled out, just like it doesn't erase when he has a mashkon? Amar Shari mashkon de kanele. Mashkon is different because he actually made a kinyan on it. Midrbi Yitzhak, namarbi Yitzhak, minayin lebal chov, shekone mashkon. Which, what does it mean he's konet? Which means he actually makes an acquisition on the mashkon. Not that she's holding it by him. There's actually an acquisition that she says, the kanele lemalveh, vimabad chayav bachariyuto. Which means if he loses it, he's chayav to replay it. Which means it's not stam, it's your item by me, and I have no responsibility. No. Once you take the item, now it's like your item in the sense that you have responsibility towards the item. Nafkamina, if it gets lost, you're going to have to replenish. And therefore, by an item that's a metaltelin, that we hold that there's a certain acquisition that he makes. Acquisition means that he's hayav for certain things now towards that item. So in that item, you consider it's paid. Oh, so it's paid, therefore Shemitah is not going to affect it. Now, how do you know that when a guy takes a collateral, he has responsibility towards that collateral? So it says, Shnei Emar, Ulcha Tiyeh Sedakah. It says, well, a guy lent money. So it says, after the Loveh pays back the money, the Malveh should give back the collateral. It says, and give it back as a Tzedakah. So the Gemara, it's a Tzedakah. Why is it Tzedakah? You got to give it back to the Loveh because the Loveh owns the item. Im eno kone Tzedakah mirayin. If he wasn't kone, why are you calling it Tzedakah? Mikan the Balchov shekone mashkon. From here you see, really, if the Malveh wants to keep the mashkon, he can technically keep the mashkon. Because he was koneh. And the Torah said, you know what? He's paying you back. Take the money and be charitable. Give him back the... So what do you see? That really he owns it. That's coming out for Shemitah. Shemitah's considered what? He's paid. But on Karka, we don't say that he owns it. You don't own Karka just because you live in it. So therefore, it's not paid up. And therefore, Shemitah will cancel that debt over. There's a difference between a mashkon or if he's living in his house. Therefore, the Shemitah will cancel... the case where he's living in the house, but it will not cancel the case where he's taking mashkon because he's paid up. Comes again when I says Tanana Tam. Now we go to another very interesting law in the laws of Shemitah and Prosbol. Hamahzir chov lechavero b'shivi'it. Guy comes after the Shemitah, so the loan technically was canceled, the loveh that is, and he tells the malveh, you know, I'd like to pay you. We know it's canceled, right? There was no Prosbol written over here. So the Malveh has to verbally say, Mishamet Ani, which means the loan is cancelled. He has to verbally say that. Ve'im amar lo afal pichen. If the Malveh is a generous guy and says, you know what, even so, I want to pay you back anyway, yekabel himenu. He can accept it. Which means it's a gift. Shene Eman, how do you know that you have to verbally say, Mishamet Ani? Because it says in the Pasuk Shnei Emar, Veze Devar HaShemitah. We see Devar is Debur. In Shemitah, there's also a verbal. What's the verbal of Shemitah? That you have to verbally say, Mishamit Ani. And then if the guy wants to be generous, say, you know what, still, not already, you can accept it. Amarava, Rava says a bigger Hiddush. Vetalile Ad Amar Hache. The Malveh can hang the Loveh up until he says, I want to pay you. Which means once he tells him, don't worry about it, Mishamit Ani. Now the guy walks away. Hey, where are you going? Come back here. He can pressure him, put him on a tree, turn him upside down, beat him up, in order for him to come along and say, oh, okay, I'll give it to you as a gift. So therefore, he can't take him to Betin, because Betin, we know he can't do that in Betin on the Shemitah year. But he can pressure him to give it to him as a gift. Look at that she. And she says, Betalile. Imayar rotze lahazor bo. If the Loveh wants to retract and not pay, Yitlenu al etz, let him hang him on a tree. In gavra yadof, the guy's, you know, the strength to do such thing. Ad de amar le afat pichin, until the guy says, okay, afat pichin. Now that she says the next she bematana, ani noten lecha. The end kam mishum lo yegos. That's not considered lo yegos. Why mishum de lo be bedina katabal velo mishum chov, which means he's not going to betin and he's not asking him for the debt. He's asking him, give me a matana. Now, normally you can't just go pressure a guy and turn him upside down to force to give him a gift. But in this case of it, since it really was a chov initially, so therefore you can tell the guy, listen, I lent you the money over here. You don't want to give it back as a chov, but be a good guy. Give it to me at least as a matana. Take me to Betin. I can't take you to Betin. Betin is mishamet on that. So he can pressure him. Comes to Gemara and tells a story over here. Actually, a question. Etibe, Gemara has a question. Abaye. Kishihu noten lo, when he's paying back, al yomar lo bechobi ani noten na, necha, el yomar lo shelihen ubimatana ani noten necha. Which means, when he pays back, he cannot say, I'm paying you back as a debt, I'm giving you back as a matana. Now, what's the question? It sounds like that in the case where you're hanging him upside down on the tree, that he's taking the money back as hope. You could pressure him to pay back debt. Hey, but the Gemara says, even when he's paying back, he's got to pay it back as a matana, not as a chov. That the Gemara says, yeah, he's going to hang him on the tree until he says matana. Which means you're right, you cannot take it back as a chov, it's got to be as a matana. Now the Gemara tells a story. Abba bar marta. Dahava abba bar minyume. It's the same man. Abba marbata, who was abba bar minyume. Abba masik be rabba zuze. He owed Rabbah money. Okay, Rabbah was the malveh. Abba Marmarta was the loveh. Aitinu nihaleh b'shivi'it. So Abba Marmarta comes to Rabbah after the Shemitah is over already. Amarleh mishamet ani. So Rabbah follows the halakha. He says, listen, sorry. Zeh devar Shemitah verbally canceled. Sheklinu ve'azal. The guy left. Thank you very much. Abba Marmarta walked away. Ata Abaye. So Abaye comes along. He sees Rabbah's all depressed. Am I atziv more? Rabbi, why are you all upset? This is what happened. I told the guy, Meshamet Ani, and the guy walked away, took my money. So Abaye went to Abba Bar Marta. He says, did Rabbah lend you money? He lent me money. Amarle umay amarlecha. So when you went to pay him back, what did Rabbah tell you? Amarle mishamet ani. He said it's canceled. Amarle. So he tells Abba Marbarta. He tells him ve'amarle afal pichin. Did you tell him even so? I want to pay back. Amarle la. I don't know. I didn't tell him that. Amarle ve'i amarle afal pichin. Havas shaklinu minach. Listen, if you would have said afal pichin, he would have taken the money from you. Which means that's an option, by the way. Which is, if you would have said a gesture, that works, which is, he's allowed to get paid. Go back to Rabbah and tell him, afal pichin, that still, I want to pay. Could be he didn't know the law. He thought, once it's canceled, it's canceled. Said, by the way, if you would have said afal pichin, he could have got his money back. So do me a favor, go back to Rabbah and say it. Azal amtinu niale v'amale afal pichin. Sheklinu mine. Rabbah took the money from him. Amar, but then Rabbah said, "Lo ava bedata behaitzuba merabbanan meikara." This young scholar did not have wisdom initially, which means he didn't know the law. He thought canceled, but he didn't think. Listen, I lent the money at the end of the day. So he's going to take the money now and then walk away. He should have known the halakha that says you can give it as a matana. So he says, "Oh, some Abaye must have told him." And that's why he came back and the afapika. He says, "This guy, he didn't know it initially when he came to halakha." Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Nachman. Next halacha. Ne'eman Adam Nomar Prozbol Haya B'yadi Ve'avad Mimini. Okay, come to Beit Din, Shemitah's already pissed, Malveh says, pay me, Loveh says, I don't have to pay you, it's, well, Loveh comes along and says, you know, I don't have to pay you, it's Shemitah, I got a Prozbol. Where's your Prozbol? I lost it. He's ne'eman, the malvet, to say, I had a prozbol, but I lost it. Now, why is he ne'eman? Fine, but he's ne'eman to say, I went to the betin even. Right. I verbally did it. Fine, but he's ne'eman to say that. Right. That I went to the betin and I verbally, even according to those rabbis. So what's the explanation why he's ne'eman? My tama, kivan de tekinu rabbanan prozbol, once the rabbis established prozbol, lo shavi ketera ba'achal isura, why would he take the money back be'isur if he had a way to take it be'eter? Which is, if he has no options, then he's going to lie. Because the only way to get back the money is by lying. But if he's able to get back his money through a kosher way, by making a prozbol, why would the guy lie that he did it? If he's saying, I went to made a prozbol, I just lost it, you got to give him a ne'emanut. because he has a heter way, so he probably did it. See, if the guy has a legal way, you got to assume he took the legal way instead of the illegal way. Ki ate lekame derav, when a malve and a love would come in front of Rav, amar le midi pirozbol haya lecha ve'avad, which means sometimes the malve would say, he didn't come to the beti with a pros ball, and maybe the malveh doesn't know the law. Maybe the malveh thinks that if he doesn't have a pros ball, he loses out. And the loveh is happy. Loveh says, "Hey, listen, I don't got to pay you." So Rav would speak up for the malveh. We'd become the advocate of the malveh and say, "No, maybe you had a pros ball and it just got lost," which means he would defend, like, or so to speak, help the malveh. So the Gemara says, "Kegon ze ptach picha le'ilemu." This is a case where you're allowed to, because the malveh is like an ilim in this case. He's like a mute. He doesn't know his rights. So therefore, if Rav is not going to explain to him, so the malveh is going to take advantage of it. You don't have a shtar, you don't have the prosbol, I'll see you later, I'm not paying you. So he told me, maybe you had a prosbol and you lost it. Oh yeah, that's what happened. Okay, so I pay him. So that's not considered helping him out, because the law is that the dayan is allowed to explain the rights to the litigant. That's the pasuk p'tach pi le'ilim. Open the mouth to the one that is mute. Okay, so that's what he did in that case over there. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanan, v'chen ba'al chov shemotzi shtar chov v'en imo prosbol. If a malveh takes out a shtar chov, but he doesn't have a prosbol, hare elu lo yifra'u. The Lovin does not have to pay. Now we have a machloket. We just said over, he doesn't need the prosbol. He's ne'emat to say, I have it and I lost it. Here it's mashma. No losing it. You got to produce it. You got to actually have it. We're going with the opinions that say you actually have to. Right, so make up your mind. So comes the Gemara and says, Tanna'ihi. It's actually a machloket amongst the Tanna'im. Netanya, we have a brayta. Hamotzi shtarchov. Sarish shiyameh prosbol. So that's a machloket. Do you actually have to have the document there at the time to collect or not? Okay, look at Dashi. Hare elu lo yifar'u. Dashi explains. Bekitubot beperikakotiv alma lo meheman nomar hayali be'abad. He's not the man to say, I had it and lost it. That's why they're saying you have to actually produce it. Which means you must be saying that case over there was saying that he claimed that I lost the document. I don't need a statement to come and tell me where a guy comes without a prosbol and he's not even claiming that he wrote one, that Shemitah cancels the debt, that's Peshita. And then the case was being told where he came to the Beit Din, he said, I don't have my prosbol, but trust me, I wrote it. And still, what are we saying? Cancelled. Why? Because according to that opinion, you actually have to produce the shtar. It says, whoever mahlok and amongst the terim, do you have to produce it or not? Comes the next Mishnah. That's what you do have. Two witnesses that sign, or the two dayanim that sign. That's exactly what you have.
And the prosbol was lost.
Prosbol was lost. You want to bring those witnesses to testify. The chavra, that should be okay as well. There's nothing strong in the world than two witnesses. Comes the Gemara, Mishnah continues. Now we talk about an Eved. Now, let's review the laws of an Eved Kana'ani. Eved Kana'ani is a slave that works by a Jew. He's a goy, Eved Kana'ani. He has laws, minimal observance of mitzvot. Okay, not like a full-fledged Yehudi, but he has a minimal mitzvot. We are discussing now if an Eved was taken into captivity by the goyim. So now somebody wants to be a good Jew and he wants to redeem him. So now we have to discuss the ramifications when he is redeemed. Who does he go back to? Does he go back to the first owner? Does he go back to the guy that redeemed him? Does it matter the intent of why the guy redeemed him? Because a guy can redeem a slave for the sake of avdut, to maintain his servitude, or he can redeem with the intention to free him. It also is going to make a difference in just giving you the variables. Did the original owner give up hope on this Eved? Did he make Yi'ush or not? Because that's going to play into the factor as well. Because if he gave up hope, then he should never go back to the first owner. So we're going to have to see exactly the variables that this case is being discussed. And the Mishnah begins. Eved, finish ba. An Eved that was taken into captivity by the Goyim. Ufda'uhu. And he was redeemed by that. She says, Yisraelim Ahirim. Im lishum eved, if they redeem them for the sake of servitude to remain in eved, yishta'abed, he remains a slave, to who we don't know yet. Im lishum ben horin, if they redeem him with the covenant to be a ben horin, lo yishta'abed, he goes free. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, ben kach u ben kach yishta'abed. I don't care what the guy's intention was when he redeemed, he remains a slave. Now we don't know all the variables. Now we get variables. Comes the Gemara and says, "Bimaya askina." Give me the details. What are we talking about over here? Ilima lifnei yiush. Okay, variable number one. Maybe master number one did not give up hope yet. Even though the guy got taken into captivity, master number one is still saying, "I'll get him back." Now lifnei yiush, if that's the case, nishum ben horin, amaylo yishtabed. What do I care if the second guy redeemed him for freedom's sake? Bottom line, if the first master didn't give up hope yet, he's got to return it to him. He still has a connection to him. Oh, so you'll tell me the first master gave up hope. Now, once the guy got in captivity, he says, forget it, I'm never getting him back. So if he redeems him for the sake of Abdut, why does he go back to be a slave? The first guy gave up hope. So you see, no matter how you learn it, whether it's lifnei yush or lahar yush, we have problems. So the Gemara answers. Amar Abaye, this is the way Abaye learns the Mishnah. Le'olam lifnei yush. Aha. Really, I'm talking about the first master did not make yush. Unishum eved, yishtabed laborishon. That's why the Mishnah says if you redeemed him for the sake of slavery, yishtabed to who? To the original owner. Unishum ben horim, lo yishtabed. Oh, but when he redeems him for freedom, he does not become a slave. Lo lerabo rishon, velo lerabo sheni. Now lerabo sheni lo, da leshum ben horim parke. I understand why the second guy can't keep him because he redeemed him for the sake of freedom. However, lerabo rishon namelo, to the first rav also, why? Dilma mimne'e velo parke. Maybe he's going to refrain from redeeming him. What are we talking about over here? L'chaorah, you ask yourself a question. What do I care if the second guy redeemed him for the sake of Ben Horim? Bottom line, if the first owner did not make Yush, it should go back to him. But the Gibbara says, you know what we're concerned about? The concern is like this. This opinion holds, it's a mitzvah to free an Eved, or to redeem him, I should say, from the Ovedei Kochavim, if he's going to become free. You know why it's a mitzvah to do such a thing? Because now he's obligated in mitzvot. Because once an Eved Kanani goes free, he's a full-fledged Jew. So therefore there's a tremendous incentive for a third party when he sees an Eved Kanani got taken into captivity, he's going to say, you know what? Let me do this mitzvah over here. Therefore, if you're going to tell him, even though you redeemed him for the sake of freedom, if the original owner didn't make Yush, he goes back to the original owner. What's going to happen? He's not going to redeem him. So therefore, to give an incentive to redeem Avadi, we come along and say, no matter what, even if the guy did not make Yush yet, he goes free. So the guy's going to say, the redeemer is going to say, oh, I get a mitzvah regardless, which means I'm not going to toil, redeem the guy for freedom, and the rabbi's going to tell me, he's still an Eved. Oh, still Eved, what's it worth? Because this opinion holds, it's not a mitzvah to redeem the Shem Avdut. It's only a mitzvah to redeem the Shem Haru, where the guy now becomes full-fledged. But even if he does that, they're going to return him back to the owner, because he didn't make you, this guy says, pass. So the incentive over here is, don't worry. If you're doing the Shem Horin, he's free, but the owner didn't make you, so what? Rabbis came along and said, he goes free. That's the way Abaye understands the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and says, now how do we understand the Banchu and Gamliel in the Mishnah? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel ben kach u ben kach yishtabed. Regardless, he goes back, which means if he did him for the sake of avdut, he goes back to the original owner before yush. And even after l'shem horin, he goes back to the original owner. Why? Kasavar keshem shemitzvah lifdot et ben horin kach mitzvah lifdot et avadim. Because Tashba goes, it's a mitzvah to redeem, no matter what. Even if he goes back as an Eved, it's a mitzvah to redeem an Eved, to remain an Eved. Why? Because I guess by the Goyim, you can't do any mitzvot at all. So at least you redeem him, you go back to his master, you can do the minimum mitzvot that he's able to do. So therefore, he has an incentive regardless, which is even though he's going to redeem the guy, the Shem Horim, and he's going to go back to the master, he'll say, beautiful, I still get a mitzvah, Because bottom line, it's a mitzvah to be podeh avadim, even not only l'shem harut, even l'shem avdu. That's why the Rashbam says benkach ubenkach. He goes back to the original man. That's the machloket over there. Comes the Gemara now and says another answer to learn the Mishnah. Rava Amar, Rava comes along and says like this. Le'olam le'achar yi'ush. Oh, he learns the Mishnah totally different. The first owner made yi'ush. He gave up hope. Ulshum eved, if he redeems him for the sake of avdut, yishtabed l'rabos sheni. So the second guy could pick him up, because the first guy made yi'ush, the second guy redeemed him, l'shem eved, he keeps him. Lishum ben horim, but if he redeems him for the sake of freedom, lo yishtabed, lo l'rabo rishon, ולא לרבו שני. לרבו שני לא הודע לשם בן חורים פרקה. לרבו ראשון נמי לא דעה לאחר יאושה בה. Right, if he does it לשם בן חורים, the second guy doesn't get it because he did it לשם בן חורים, the first guy doesn't get it because he made יאוש. לבן שמעון מגמלי אומר, בן כך ובן כך ישתעבד. Either way, he's going to make, he becomes an עבד, which means to his first master. How does that work? Which means the first master made יאוש. Whether he redeemed him for freedom, whether he redeemed him for Herut, he always goes back. What's the logic? How can he go back to the Gemara? It's Kedi Hizkiyah. De Amar Hizkiyah Mipnema Amru Benkach U Benkach Yishtabed. Shelo Yeh Kol Echad Veechad Holech U Mepil Atzmo Le Geyesot U Mefkiyah Atzmo Miyad Rabbo. Because we're concerned that every slave is going to know this item. So he's going to run to get kidnapped. Anytime an army comes into town, he's going to run towards them. He's going to throw himself into the hands to get taken into captivity, knowing what? That once the guy redeems him, he goes free. My master will give up hope. The guy's going to redeem me. I go free. The second guy can't take me. The first guy's not going to take me. So the Hizkiyah, you know what? He always goes back. Whenever he gets the, even though the owner made yush, even though the guy did it, l'shem mechorin, benkach, that's Rashbag Shita, benkach u benkach. He always goes back to the original owner because of the shita of Hizkiyah. Comes the Gemara and says, "Metive Amar lahen Rashbag, keshem shemitzvah livdot et ben horin, kach mitzvah livdot et avadim." Rashbag made a statement like this: just like it's a mitzvah to free, to make them free, the shem ben horin, it's a mitzvah to redeem avadim, even for the sake of Avdut. Now Rashbag made such a statement. Bishtama la'abaye damal ifne yi'ush hainu deka'amar kishim. Abaye, how did he learn the Mishnah? He learned the case is talking about lifne yi'ush. The owner did not make yi'ush yet. Correct? If the owner did not make yi'ush yet, seemingly what? The Eved should go back to the original owner as an Eved. Now we understand why Rashbag said, just like it's a mitzvah, and what? And what do we say? According to Rashbag, it goes back. According to Rashbag, if the owner did not make yi'ush yet, according to Abaye, it goes back to the original owner. We understand Rashbag's logic, because he says, just like it's a mitzvah to free a slave l'shem horin, it's a mitzvah to free l'shem eved. That's why you can allow him to go back to the original owner, l'fnei yi'ush, because it's not going to be a disincentive. Because the guy said, what do I care? Let him go back and say, eved. Baba, I did a mitzvah. So I understand on Abaye's logic what the kishim of Rashbag was. Just like it's a mitzvah to free l'shem ben horin, it's a mitzvah to free l'shem. That's why lifnei yi'ush, I'm going to give him back to the original owner. And I'm not worried that the guy's not going to redeem, because he's fulfilling a mitzvah nonetheless. Just like it's not to free l'shem ben horin, it's a mitzvah to free l'shem avdut, which means the kishim kach of Rashbag makes sense in Abaye's way of understanding the Mishnah. However, Bishtam al Avaye Damal Efti Yush, Hanu Tekamal Mishum Keshem. Ela Le Rava Damal Lechar Yush. But according to Rava, he learned the Mishnah is talking about what? After Yush. And what was Rashbag saying? That after Yush, no matter what he saves, redeems him for, whether he redeems him L'Shem Havdut or L'Shem Herut, he goes free. Keshem, what is the Keshem? Mishum de Hizkiyahu. It's got nothing to do with mitzvah, livdot, or not livdot. According to Rava, Rashbag's logic is based on a different sevarat in totality. It's based on Hizkiyah that says what? We don't want Avadim to throw themselves into captivity. So why would Rashbag give, just like there's a mitzvah to redeem the Horin, it's a mitzvah to do Avadim. That's got nothing to do with it. The logic of Rava, the way he understood the Mishnah, is the reason why he goes free always is because why? We never want to go back as an Eved. Why? Because we don't want these Avadim to throw themselves into slavery. So the Rashbag's logic, Kishim, that's why he comes back as an Eved, forgive me. Even after Yeush, absolutely. That's why after Yeush he goes back as an Eved, because we don't want to give the incentive to the slave to the Muslim. So that's not the logic. Kishim Shemitzvah. So comes again with us, Amar Lecha Rava. Rava says like this. Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel Lo Ava Yada Maika Amri Rabbanam. They heard the rabbi's opinion, the opinion before them, that said what? If it's for the sake of Ben Horin, so then they go free. If it's the sake of Avdut, he goes back. They didn't know, Rashbag didn't know what the logic of Rabbanan was. They just heard the deen. He just heard the deen of the rabbis, but he didn't know what was the mechanics of why he said it. So he said like this, if you're saying your law, rabbis, before Yeush, Hainu Keshem. That's why he came back to him. Before Yeush, I'll tell you, you're wrong. Because there's no problem to let him go back, which means I'll say he'll always goes back. You know why? Because there's no disincentive, because Keshem Shemitzvah Lefrok et Avadim, Benechorim, Kat Mitzvah Lefrok et, which means, rabbis, if you're talking Lefnei Yeush, I'll answer you. Why you're wrong? Because I'll tell you, you're worried about an incentive factor, right? That's what did the rabbi say? The rabbi said, Lefnei Yeush, the guy still goes free. Why? Because otherwise the guy can't redeem. Because his whole incentive is to redeem, because I want to do the mitzvah. That's your reason? But I'm going to tell you a secret. It's a mitzvah to free Avadim as well. So therefore, let him go back. It's not going to stop. If that's your reason, now, Ila, how do Yeush come into now? If you were talking rabbis, even after Yeush, well, then I'll answer you back. Then I'll tell you back. Hey, you're still wrong. Because what? We go like Hezkiah, that says what? That you always have to let him go back, because I'm concerned that they're Eved. So therefore, Rashbag, he kept an open mind on what the rabbi was. I don't know exactly. I don't know what your case. If you're talking Lefnei Yeush, I'll answer you like this. Keshem Kach. If you're talking Lachar Yeush, I hit you from Hezkiah, which is Biman Afshach. No matter how you're learning, I have an answer for your claim. That's why he said Keshem Shein. Keshem is on the side that it was talking about Lefnei Yeush. But if it's Lachar Yeush, I'll tell you from Hezkiah. Baruch Allah. Amen.